Well, today we're going to look at something brand new. We've been in a series this last 4 weeks of our core values, and now we're going to move into a bit of a series about our culture. How do we set the culture? What is our culture? Because here's what we believe in Vibe. If we set the culture, we set the tone. And if we set the tone, then suddenly everybody's walking to the same beat. Everybody knows what's going on. When someone comes in who's different, they either have to acclimatize or adjust. Or they say, hey, maybe this is not for me. And it's one of those things that as we grow and as God brings us into shape and he forms us into the body of Christ that he's calling us to be, then we become more aware of who we are and who we're not. And so as we do that, we set the culture. Because if we set the culture, we're going to see God move in the ways that he wants to. So today, we're going into this thing called unstoppable prayer. And I believe this is so key for today. I believe that some people need this. I believe this is unique on God's heart because I got to confirm time after time this week, prophetic words, just various different things that came, and I want to believe that Lord's going to move. So let's pray just for a moment. Lord, I pray your heart over every life. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move in every life, and I pray, Jesus, right now, come and do what only you can do in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So we're talking about unstoppable prayer. Isn't it incredible that the most unexciting thing that people seem to think about is prayer? They go, well, can we do anything but prayer? Could it be a worship night? You know, could it be a Bible study? Could it be like a mission trip? But prayer, oh, come on. And I tell you, we're on a journey as a church to transform that and say, come on, prayer is our language. Prayer is our communication with God. What a privilege, what an honor. And to remind ourselves that prayer is not boring, no matter what concept we've had before or experience that we've had before, our prayers are unstoppable. And so today we're on a journey of how do we get our prayers to be unstoppable in the sense of it's a continuous conversation with God, and how do we pray prayers that are unstoppable, that literally things move, that things take shape. And that's what we're on a journey for today. Here's what it says in Philippians 4:6. Reading it from a slight paraphrase, but I feel it just gets to the point. It says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. What about that for a good line? Don't worry about anything, pray about everything. This is what we need to do in our lives. And you're already going, everything? I'm like, yes. But again, prayer, if you've defined it as you got to get in a quiet place, you got to get your arms crossed like this, or your hands crossed, you got to, you know, sit in a certain place. I mean, that can be prayer, but that's not all that prayer is. Prayer in the simplest form is a conversation with God. And God wants an open-ended conversation with you. If you were part of my family, and hey, you can come be part of my family if you want to. When I phone my mom or dad or something like that, you know what we do? You'll notice we don't usually say goodbye on the phone. It's just saying, we usually just say, hey, better go, or right, okay, see you soon. Or, you know, we don't really end up with a big conclusion because we know within a minute or two, or within a half an hour, within a day, we're going to be chatting again. And sometimes it's on text, sometimes it's on social. Sometimes it's on the phone, sometimes it's in person, but it's a continuation of a conversation. It's continual. And God's saying to us today, that's the type of conversation that I want with you. Unstoppable prayer, prayer that never ceases, prayer that never ends. And in fact, that's what Paul said. He said, here's the goal. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I never stop praying. Never stop praying. Never stop praying. Our goal is to talk to God all day long, continuously with him. So today I want to talk about prayer that defeats the enemy. Do you know what I mean? Prayers that when you pray them, you know you're defeating the works of the enemy. You know you're defeating the works of Satan. You know that something's moving. I want to talk about prayer today that we are setting the captives free, because literally when we pray, we get to set the captives free. We get to partner with the Holy Spirit and he can do anything. We get to pray powerful prayers. I think sometimes we forget that our prayers are powerful because of what God has already spoken and because of the authority and the place that Jesus has given us. And so now he's at the right hand, we're seated beside him, and he's given us full access. So as it says that we're to go boldly before that throne of grace because we have an authority, we have an awareness, we are able to go to this, we're able to do these things, we're able to go forward in the things of God. And then number four, we're able to pray Power Ranger type prayers. Does anybody remember the Power Rangers? Come on, the Power Rangers, when I was growing up, were the guys. They were able to come together. They had superpowers. They would beat the enemy. They would be able to do this. There was a lot of kung fu, karate, all that type of martial arts. But what would happen is every single time the enemy would get bigger as well as get badder, and he would kind of morph and grow and all sorts of different things. And so what they would do is they would morph together, and all 5-6 Power Rangers would come together, and suddenly they would become this one big Super Ranger and take out the enemy. And I tell you, there's something that we're losing person when it comes to the power of praying together, praying collectively, both online, offline, in person, just whatever, at the same time, different locations. But we need to remind ourselves of how powerful this is, how incredibly powerful it is to get to the body of Christ, because we are one body connected to God. And we get to pray and we get to shape heaven and shape earth because of this. So I want to tell you, we're going to pray Power Ranger type prayers, because we know together we are powerful. Acts chapter 4, we read it just the other weekend. I want to read this verse over your heart again and pull out a different point. It says, after they had prayed, they were meeting together because Peter and James met together when they were in prison. They were just in trouble for sharing the good news of Jesus. And then believers started to pray and things started to happen. And here's what it says. After prayer, the meeting place shook. It literally just shook. I mean, I don't know how to define that other than everything started to tremble. Everything just started to move because their prayers were powerful. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they preached the word of God with boldness. Come on, that's what I need. I'm praying, Holy Spirit, right now that he would speak the word of boldness over you, that you'd begin to speak the word of boldness because the Holy Spirit is over you and in you and through you, and he's moving in your life. We are people that have a big God. And so, and we get to pray to him. And as a result, we get to see things move. Prayer doesn't just allow us to speak continuously to God. It allows us to move unstoppable things. And we need to know this. If I don't pray, how's it going to move? If I don't stay in conversation with God, how am I going to stay tuned up? But if I do, suddenly everything begins to change. I want to give you one epic failure of prayer. Can I just give you, this is one surefire way of canceling your prayers, or in a sense, making you not want to pray. And here it is. I only pray when I feel like it. Or, let me say it like this. I only pray to help myself feel better. And can you pray to help yourself feel better? Absolutely. But I don't pray for that sole reason. That's just a bonus and a benefit. That's not the reason that I pray. And here's the outcome if we do that. I already mentioned it. We'll only pray when we feel like it. And I don't want to be a person that only gets prayer when I feel like it, or only gets prayer when I feel I really, really need it, or only begins to pray if I feel I'm in good spirits, or the opposite. I want to be a person that can pray continuously. I want to be a person that can talk to Jesus no matter what. It is not about my feelings first. It's about my authority in Christ and who I get to speak to and who I get to talk to. And then the number two outcome is we'll reduce our prayer lives down to just taking like another pill. It's like, will it take a painkiller for my sore head, or will I pray? It's probably easier just to take a painkiller. It's probably just easier, more effective, and more value for money in a sense, because prayer takes time. And if we reduce prayer down to that, then why on earth would we want to pray all the time? Why on earth would we even remember to pray? Because again, in our consciousness, we say, I only pray when I need something. I only pray when I feel like it. And I don't want to live a life like that. I want to know that God has called me for such a time as this. I want to know that he has marked my life. And when I pray, things move. Amen. I'm telling you, when you pray, things move. When you pray, things on earth have to move, because God says, if you've got faith as small as a mustard seed, you can speak to any mountain and it will move. See, God is for us and he is calling us into deeper walks with him. We've got to remind ourselves that we're actually talking to God, and prayer always changes us. And so why do I pray? Well, I pray for many different reasons, but I know this, as I pray, God's changing me. He's molding me. He's transforming me. And so I thought of three quick things that would keep me praying and keep me moving as I pray. Here's number one. It keeps me focused. I tell you, the one thing about prayer and talking to God is keeps me focused. You know, whenever maybe you're doing a project and group project, the dreaded group project you maybe do in school or uni, and there's always one or two that never pull their weight, and then the other one or two have to do everything. You know what I'm saying? But God's in the group with you, and sometimes he's thinking, maybe that's you. No, hopefully that's not you. But here's what I'm going to say. When you're working in a good group, when you're working in a good team, you keep each other sharp. You keep saying, come on, remember this. Somebody's organized, somebody's creative, somebody's just, and we keep moving forward because we keep mindful of the things that we have to do. And God's saying the same with us. As we talk together, then I'll keep you sharp. I'll keep you focused. And I'll keep you moving in the direction I need to. Number two, I'll keep you on assignment. You see, I think we forget that we're on special assignment. We're a special convoy. We're on special assignment. We're ambassadors for Christ in a broken, fallen world. And we get to change things through our hands, through our prayers, through the word of God, through the way that we worship, just who we are. But our super weapon is communication with God, and not really is prayer. So we're trying to redefine it. And number three, it keeps us strong and healthy. When I talk with God and I listen to God and he talks to me, he reminds me of things. Goodness and mercy follow you every day. Come on, you're more than an overcomer. Come on, son, don't lose faith. I'm always with you. Come on, you know that the lies of the enemy aren't true. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Come on, you know that the enemy can't win because every weapon formed against you, I will turn it around, says the Lord. See, when we're in constant communication with God, wow, our prayer life starts to go up. The effectiveness of our prayer life goes up. And I think that's most important. The effectiveness of our conversations, because remember, we are speaking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who calls us son or daughter, who says, reference me as dad, but he has the power to do anything. And so as we pray, we know we're able to move and see things move because we're praying and talking to the right God. So I want to encourage you, we're taking our prayers higher because we know what God can do. Prayer changes us. And I think about two things today, and I think this is really important. Number one, we pray for our needs. And this is crucially important. We pray for our needs, but we know as we pray for our needs, we must understand this and underline this. We're not praying to beg God for something because he's a good God and he's a good Heavenly Father. In fact, here's what the word says. Philippians 4:19. It says, and my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. So look, the condition is not on his riches because we know it's unlimited riches. We know that it's not according to his glory because his glory is unlimited. So it's almost an understatement to say, you know all your needs are going to be met because I'm a good God and I'll never fail you. So when we pray for our needs, it's less about repetition. It's more about standing on the promises. I know that God will supply all of my needs. So number one, I've got needs. And I know as I need things, God will supply them. Sometimes ahead of time, sometimes after time. But again, I can have continuous conversation. But it's not about begging. It's not about trying to twist God's arm. It's not trying about being good enough. You know, sometimes I used to think, well, if I live really good, then God's going to really give me the answers to my prayers. I mean, can I just tell you that God's grace is better than that? His love is better than that. I'm not advocating living in the wrong way, but we do not twist God's arm. He loves us and he already knows the things we have needed before we even ask. He just says, talk to me because I want to be in relationship with you. So number one, the type of prayer could be needs. But the second one that's really, really important is our dreams, the visions, the things that God has called us to. And Matthew 6:7 says this, but when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. And I want to say this, isn't it interesting that God talks about, and he says that you've got to keep praying, because Matthew 7:7 says this, and he will be given to you, it will be given to you if you keep seeking, and you will find if you keep knocking, and the door will be open. And when we look at that verse, it says, it will be given to you, seek and you will find. It's like the more that we keep asking, the more that we keep knocking, it will be open. The emphasis, although we don't read it a lot here, if you study it through, the emphasis is to ask and keep asking. It's to knock and keep knocking until the door gets open. It's to pray and to keep praying until the prayers come through. Now, that's different than our needs, because if we did that, then we would misunderstand that God loves us and he wants to supply all of our needs. This is much more directed to our dreams, the visions, the calling that God has given us. And really, the primary heart of why does God not answer it instantly? Well, there's many different reasons, but I think the primary reason for us to get our heads around is because God's preparing us for the days ahead. He's preparing us. It's like one of those things where you just, I don't know, maybe you're praying for like, the best business in the whole world. Well, you could get the best business in the whole world tomorrow and then lose it the next day because you're not qualified. You're not ready just yet. You haven't went through the trials to be able to fire test and fire prove your ability, your character, your standards, your everything to be able to carry that through. But you might start praying that prayer 20 years ago, give me the best dreams, Lord, give me the best business, Lord, give me the best this, Lord. And then 20 years later, you turn around and go, wow, he really has. And as I kept praying that, as I kept faithful in that, wow, I felt like I got a burden and that meant I couldn't give up on it. Because I think sometimes, you know what? Part of it's just God testing our hearts. Do you really want what you're asking for? because I know what's ahead of you for this. Do you really want it? And so he has a slight delay because he wants us to understand, are we ready for this thing? And so number one is about preparation. But number two is, are we serious? Is this a real thing? Is this a burden? You know, we're coming up to 16, 17 years of vibe. And I remember back that I was believing way back that we would have a three-story building with a bowling alley. And you know what? Our new building, when it comes through, it's going to be three stories. I don't know if we're going to have a bowling alley, but we'll at least go and get some Skittles or something, and we'll knock that thing down. You know, but isn't it interesting that I dreamt and prayed about this thing for nearly 20 years, over 15 years, and God is bit by bit, but I kept faithful, I kept praying, I kept asking, and I wasn't in doubt. I just kept believing because I knew that God said, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep asking, and it will be given to you. I want to encourage you, yes, there's this times where you can pray and you're just babbling on. Can I tell you that the word there, it says babbling, if you translated it, would be useless. Come on, don't let your prayers be useless. But I'm saying let your prayers be effective. You don't have to pray loads and loads for the things that God that you need because you know God's going to supply them. You stand on his promises. But the things you're dreaming about, keep vigilant, keep praying, keep a burden, keep hungry, keep asking because he's doing more in you than you realize. He's equipping you and he's trying to see your heart. He's trying to perfect your spirit. He's trying to work on your character. He's doing so many things. So I say, keep praying and keep asking him. And for how long? Till you're ready. Come on, till you're ready, of course. You see, we pray so often for our dreams and we wonder why they're not answered because God's still trying to change you. I want to read about this widow in Luke chapter 18. I feel it's going to unlock some truth today for us. Because really, when it comes to our prayers, we want to have passionate, persistent prayers. You know, prayer that doesn't just fade. A prayer life that's not hot and heavy and then it's all over. A prayer life that's consistent, but a prayer life that's passionate. It's not just empty words. It's not just useless words, as Jesus taught the people. But no, it's people with passion. Luke chapter 18 is a great example of a widow. And I want to just state as we get into the story today, a widow is a person who obviously lost her husband. They're vulnerable. They're like, chances are they're not getting married again. They're at the bottom part of society. They get forgotten about, they're abused, and yet Jesus says, don't forget the widows and the orphans. That's what I'm here for. And so isn't it interesting that Jesus would use this story as a parable to teach us something of heaven to be applied on earth? Here's what it says in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain time there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought about him. In some ways good, a lot of ways bad. And there was a widow in that town who kept asking him for help. And she pleaded with him. She says, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what the people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she will eventually come, so that she won't eventually come and attack me. He's like, come on, I know. If you get these, some people raised up, well, you never know what can happen next. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge said. Will God not bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Wow, what an incredible story about a lady that just got passionate and said, I've got to see an answer here. I've got to see breakthrough. And she got a burden. I cannot tell you this enough. I know that the Lord says, I'll give you a burden that's light and yoke that's easy. He's not saying that you don't still get a burden. You get a burden. And sometimes you're carrying this burden. It weighs heavy, but it weighs light. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's always on your mind, but you're not worried about it or anxious about it, that heaviness side of things. But there's a weightiness to it. There's a presence to it. There's a focus to it. And you remember about it. It doesn't go off your heart because you know that God's put something in your spirit. It's a bit like our Project Possible. It's on our hearts. If it starts to weigh us down too much, we got to pray and say, God, come on, we're worrying, we're getting anxious here. But we should be mindful of it. We should feel the weight of expectation on it. We should feel a healthy weight on this thing because we know we've got a burden about it and we're going to see it. When it comes to reaching our city, it's the same. When it comes to seeing people transformed and healed and set free, it's the same. We've got a burden about this thing because because we know that God wants to do this. And it talks about this lady who doesn't tell us really what her problem is. She just needed justice. She needed a breakthrough. She needed something to happen. And she wasn't getting the answer. But she kept going. She kept knocking. She kept pestering. And he used this word, bothering. You know, she just kept annoying his head. We were talking about she kept racking his head. And eventually, at the end of it, the judge is busy. What he said is, I'm sick of this woman racking my head. Give her whatever she wants. And he wasn't a very nice guy, he says it himself. He wasn't a godly man, he says it himself. But there was something about her persistency that transformed things. And I tell you, she was not just persistent, but she was passionate. Because it says that she would cry out day and night. And I want to tell you, when you look at that word cry out, here's what it says. It's a shout, it's a war cry, it's a roar. She was like, ah, you know, she's just like, roar. God is going to do something. God is going to transform something. She got passionate. And I get passionate about this because sometimes we come to our prayer times and we might as well go to sleep. Or we could go to sleep because it gets very monotone. It gets one level. It gets very low. I'm not saying it's not reverent. I'm not saying that it's not considered. And I'm not saying that you don't mean it. But sometimes it can just get boring, you know, and the rest of us, come on. If we're fighting something, sometimes you got to get excited. And I'm not saying that the excitement is the be all and end all, but this woman got passionate because for her, this was a big thing. I need justice and I need this thing. And there's something about when you need a breakthrough. You know, whenever you get talking to someone, I don't know, maybe you're doing a phone call or you're going for a deal. Here's how you're not going to get a deal. And sometimes I fall victim to this and I got to remind myself, hey, is there any chance of getting a deal off this thing? You know, getting a discount? Nah. Like, here's the tone we need. Come on, I need a discount on this thing. I don't have all the money, but I really need it. What's the chances? Well, I don't know. I'll have to ask someone. Hey, would you go and ask them right now? And before you know it, you get £2 off, £200, £2,000. I don't know. You get something off it because the person can see you need it. The person can maybe see you're desperate. The person can maybe see you're passionate and they respond to it. Guys, I'm telling you, the kingdom of God wants this too. God said, I need people that will cry out because when I cry, I understand your heart. When you get passionate, then I understand what you're after. I understand that you're believing in something, that you're keen on something, that you want this thing and that you believe actually what you're saying. And God says, I need people like this. When it came to that, those matters of prayer, she was passionate and it made a difference. Her posture and the tone of her prayers were important. And we need to understand the tone and the posture of our prayers are important also. And then verse 7, and I love this, it says day and night. I tell you, if you're not interested, in a thing, then you'll get put off when you get tired or when it gets hard or when it gets difficult. But the word says that she started to pray night and day. She started to pester this judge night and day. He was just like, I'm sick of this thing. Get her away from me. She just smothered him with, help me, help me, help me. She had just smothered him with like, I need breakthrough. I need something to happen here. And God said the same to us. I tell you what, we're going to work the works of the kingdom. When we work against the enemy, we just start to smother him with love. We start to smother him with grace. We start to smother with breakthrough because we understand I'm going to stay passionate. I'm going to stay true to my calling. I've got a burden. I've got an unstoppable prayer. And guys, that's what God's saying. I want to raise people up with unstoppable prayers. People that have burdens that will not be moved. People that have a burden that goes, you know, somebody says I'm really into this thing. And then before they know it, then they've given up on this thing. And you're like, are you still doing that thing? And you're like, no, I kind of changed. And you're like, but I thought that was the thing you were most passionate about. Yeah, but it can't change my mind. I'm telling you, when you get a burden, you can't change. When you get a burden, you don't change. And so I want to tell you, God is birthing something inside of us. We're going to believe for this today that we are going to see it in Jesus' name. Let me bring you back a couple of years ago. We did it last week. We're going to do it this week. During COVID-19, we started praying here from God in crazy new ways. We just fasted and prayed. And just before we're about to fast and pray, here's a few things I felt like God spoke to us. And we've actually seen it in this last 2 years. He said, you got to start believing and praying for a new prayer style. We're getting too stagnant in our prayers. He said, I want to see passion. I want to see real. I want to see fiery. I want to see honest. I want to see not safe. I want to see not dull, not boring, not lackluster or faithless. And I was like, right, Lord, we got to pray. We got to partner together and we pray. And I tell you what, we started to see our prayer times. Wednesday nights, they started to kick off and they're going from strength to strength. Do we think we're there yet? I don't think so. I think there's more, but we have taken an upward path and God says, keep going faithfully. There's more to come. So my challenge today, as we're getting ready to finish, my challenge for your heart is this. How many of your prayers are my focused? This is another surefire way of killing your prayer life. If all your prayers are about yourself or about your own things. Because can I just tell you, they can get a bit boring, they can get a bit lifeless, and you can lose excitement. But when you start to pray about this thing and that thing, we got some incredible prayer news back from Ukraine about the ships that couldn't get landed in the dock because the seas rose up. And then the guys in Wymom in the Kiev base needing some food and stocks and supplies, and then a truck literally just lands in the front door. They're feeding like 150 people a day. It's incredible. And that's just one story. We've got another friend, Alex, who's just seeing God's hand of protection day after day after day in one of the southern cities in Ukraine. God is doing incredible things. And if we will start to pray unstoppable prayers, then we will see God move and do incredible things. But we've got to challenge the heart. Challenge number two. If God answered all of your prayers today, how much change would it bring? Would it impact the world? Would it impact your city? Would it impact your nation? Would it just impact your family? Would it impact at all? And I want to say this, we are people that's going to pray unstoppable prayers. And if we do, and when we do, and when we get in that constant communication with God, then we're going to see breakthrough and we're going to be spurred on. Because every time you see breakthrough, every time you hear of a testimony, receive a testimony, it just spurs you on. Come on, we are people, they're going to pray. Let me give you one last verse and then we literally are going to pray. Ephesians 3:20 says this, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more or exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." The Holy Spirit's at work within us. "To him be the glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Here's what God says. You have no clue how powerful your prayers are, but it's time to pray. It's time to talk to me. Let me talk to you. Let me guide you as you pray. Because here's the power of prayer. As we pray the will of God, as we pray in step with God, we are going to see dramatic things take place. If we don't, we're going to miss it. And I want to encourage you, don't miss what God has on your life and what he wants to work through your life. You're here for a purpose. You're here for transformation. You're here to change things. You're a history maker, a world changer. And to do that, we've got to talk to our Heavenly Father. We've got to talk to our dad. Come on, we're going to pray. Lord, I thank you today for your goodness. And I pray for every heart, every soul, Lord, every person that just needs to hear this word, every person that needs to know that their prayers are unstoppable and it's time to pray. And as we pray, we're going to move unstoppable things, things that we thought couldn't be moved. Lord, I pray today for every heart. I pray today for anyone who doesn't know you. I pray, Jesus, that they would receive you. I pray, Holy Spirit, they would do what the word says, confess with their minds, believe in their hearts that Jesus is Lord, and they would be saved. Wow. So I pray, Heavenly Father, just save anyone who needs it right now. You would say yes to Jesus. Be bold with him because he loves you. And I pray for the rest of us that are saved, walking with God. Come on, Holy Spirit, would you come and move in our hearts and transform us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Guys, we are unstoppable. We are unstoppable with things of God. Don't allow yourself to get in the way. Don't allow the enemy to lie to you. It's time to start these conversations with God and never let them end. Come on, we're going to pray without ceasing. I pray you're blessed today. I pray you're encouraged. I pray this challenges you, and I pray you would share it with other people and invite people offline, online, wherever you find them. I pray today that you would be blessed and encouraged and you would know the favor of God. Come on, check out this last verse today. Or this last song today, allow it to minister to your heart and allow your life to be transformed in Jesus' name. Amen.